I'd like to call the Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:30. Today is April 4th. Roll call, please.
Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Chair Goodfox.
Present. Thank you. Speaker Shaw, will you please say our morning prayer?
Yes, I'll be happy to. Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful rain and the opportunity to serve the Osage people. Lord, please give us the wisdom needed to make good decisions and bless all of those that are in mourning and all of our children and elders. Lord, please keep them and take care of any needs they may have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is approval for minutes. We have minutes from I'm looking on the calendar and I see sorry, I'm on the session day. I was like, what is this?
Chair.
Congresswoman. Redcorn.
Motion to approve the minutes dated February 28th, 2025, as presented.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Passes. Thank you. We are now on ONCA 2542, an act to amend the Osage Nation Boards Act at 15 ONC 5-103 to make the terms of board members consistent with the constitutional amendment adopted in 2024 regarding confirmations and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, committee. I do have an amendment that I'd like to make a motion that the committee adopt the committee amendment number one, page one, lines 32 through 36, strike lines 32 through 36 and replace with all members of the board shall serve for a term of 2 years. Upon creation of a board, the terms for each member of the board shall be 1 year for the majority of members and 2 years for the minority. All current board member terms upon expiration shall be for 2 year terms at the next appointment and confirmation.
Second.
Do you mind, Congresswoman Rivard, just kind of explaining the overall of what that would do?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Congresswoman Redcorn. So what I have found since I've served this past term and now that looking at the boards and commissions as much as we have throughout this past term, I was wondering why the past Congress had set this at a 3 year, and I was hoping that those that maybe have served prior to would may or may not know why it was set at 3 and rather than 2. And at first I was going to propose 1 year, and then I thought that would be too much. And I thought, well, 2 for me feels like or it seems to fit more with our election cycle. And also, I felt like if we had board members that we had confirmed and they're serving and they do not hold up to their responsibilities that are described either in their articles or bylaws or our law, that the only way to address that would be to remove. And I just don't feel that that would be something I would be comfortable with. I'd prefer to be able to confirm more frequently rather than three.
I support this legislation. I agree with Congresswoman Rivard, but this actually touches on something, another issue somewhat related to this, and I've been trying to figure out how to solve this. I haven't been able to think of it. So currently we have a few, well, for an example, we have a gaming commission board. It just has two members. So think about the power concentration with just two board members, how much power they have. We're currently waiting on more people to be appointed. So we just wait, basically. And I don't know even if we could put into law, because it's a separation of powers issue, the chief to make him appoint somebody. But like Congresswoman Rivard said, a lot of these boards, I don't know if stagnant's the right word, but maybe we get kind of lackadaisical with them. And I think this will, you know, produce more movement, which I think is a good thing. But yeah, I am a pretty worried about how we have these boards who we just don't have appointments come down. And I think it's really proper to have a really functioning board. A lot of these boards have a lot of power. For instance, our gaming board, I mean, they approve distributions to the tribe to operate. So I'm happy to support this legislation, and I look forward to the debate. Thank you.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. I can't say that I disagree with it. I like your overall bill. I really do think that there is a need to have that written in about how, you know, how few can be on a board, having a minimum, because just like Congressman Keene said, having two on a board or having open positions puts us in a vulnerable spot, puts the boards in a vulnerable spot, not just us. I'm trying to decide how I feel about the terms. And it's not that I disagree with one or the other necessarily, but I see the value in having them be oddly numbered in the sense that you, yes, 3 years is a long time, but when you give it an odd number, and I think 1 year is too short, so the next odd number is 3 years. I think when you do that, you allow the possibility of those board members to overlap terms, so terms of Congress members, terms of chiefs, and so it kind of creates a little bit of neutrality to that person when they can overlap administrations and overlap Congresses. So I think that's, I don't know what the intention was on creating the term. Maybe it was just an arbitrary number, I don't know. But when it's every 2 years, unless it was like a 2 years that spanned over an election and after an election, like 1 year before, 1 year after, if it could be staggered in that way. I just see where the odd number creates the opportunity for neutrality in administrations. And so then we can take a good look at the person coming in or the chief coming in or the Congress coming in, can take a really good look at that person's role on the boards. And when they come up for confirmation, they can look at it with fresh eyes. But I also see where 3 years sometimes can feel like an eternity when, and we don't have the opportunity within 3 years to reevaluate that person when they come up for confirmation again. So I see where 2 years could also be beneficial. I don't know that, you know, like I said, I think I like how right now there is a chance for them to bridge administrations, and I don't know that we could accomplish that same thing. And it looked like a crazy calendar. We probably could accomplish it on a 2-year time frame where it bridges administrations and Congresses. So So I don't know. I'm really honestly just thinking out loud about it because I see the benefits in both sides of that, in doing 2-year terms and being able to evaluate more frequently. But I also see where my other point to that is, I see where the longer term allows for some consistency, experience, and consistency and experience for the actual board. So if you get a board member that's been on there 3 years and then you get a new person that's coming in, there's the ability to train that person because there's some experience there. And sometimes I wonder if 2 years is enough. So,
Chair, we're in the middle of a motion and this was the discussion piece. And I was wondering if the committee would vote on the amendment so we could have open discussion or either way.
Of the motion, signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. All right, we're still in discussion. Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. So I agree with you. I do. And there are benefits and probably unintended, not great benefits on both sides. So the good news is, like you said, we would have folks for 3 years. By that time, during that 3-year period, they should be able to be completely up to speed, functioning as a good board member. But if it's a board member that is simply not functioning properly, or let's say the entire board is, I could see where perhaps 2 might make more sense. I'm really on the fence about this one. So I am curious, and I hate to put you on the spot, when the boards, when this was first set up, the 3 years, do you have some insight into why the 3 years was chosen?
No, I don't, because that was a first Congress decision. What I will say is that, you know, I'm on the fence on this too, very much. And I can't remember who I talked to. It was either the sponsor or maybe the speaker or maybe a member. You know, we get a resume, we vet, we make the decision, we meaning Congress, and it's very similar, I think, to the people that vote us into our seats. We put our resumes out there, we put our experience out there, and they are making a decision for us, not for 2 or 3 years, but for 4 years, right? And the way that our election cycle started working after we established Congress in 2006, where 6 people were for 6 years, and then 6 people were for 4 years. And then once we hit 2010, we started evening out for every 2 years we have an election cycle, but the seats that we are electing are for 4 years. I would much rather, and I don't think we're gonna solve this today, because I think that there are so many people that are, what I'm hearing, that we're on the fence. And I think that the discussion is good. And I think that, you know, we'll circle back around to, we're very early in the session, we'll circle back around to a second meeting where we discuss again. I don't have a problem with the 3 years, but I think where I would rather, as a member, look is a term limit of sorts, the same way we have term limits. So at some point, I think that it's good to change the faces. That's what the people want for the seats that are housed here and the seats that are on, you know, in the executive branch. And so I don't know who the longest serving board member is. It'd be an interesting question to research and to see, you know, where people fall. It's just, I mean, it's good discussion for sure. And I agree. There's pros and cons to leaving it at 3 and moving it to 2. Sponsor.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is one of the reasons I wanted to kind of open up this piece of our code was to have discussion. I think Congressman Keene had some amendments he had been talking about too during the last session. And I thought, this would be a good time. I agree with you, Congresswoman Good Fox. That was one of the reasons, was that why doesn't it align with what we're doing with our elections? But I didn't look at it that way, the way you just did, but I see what you're saying. The change of people and faces, because one of the things that, you know, I hear that I don't think that's kind of weak for us in our government, and was that they serve at the pleasure of the chief. And I was like, what does that mean? So I'm thinking then, if that's the case and it's in our constitution, then say you come to a new chief, right? You come up for a new election, you got new Congress members seated in that during that election, and they come in, and then now that we've changed our constitutional amendment to say, hey, we can confirm board members now more frequent. We took that restriction off ourselves, which I think was very smart. Now opens us up to have a better pool of people, but you're going to hear that too. Or what we're hearing is, I can't find board members to serve. Well, I don't know what that's like. I've never had to do that. I see a lot of qualified Osages all over. That's what I see. And to Congressman Keene's point, I feel like in this current law too, it has a minimum amount of people that can serve. Maybe we need to look at that too. Because if it is a five-man or a five-person board, but the minimum is two people, then maybe we need to look at that minimum so that it doesn't affect these boards, because you're right. I mean, if you have a board that's set with two people and someone's sick, you don't have a quorum. The same thing with three. I mean, it could hinder a board doing their job, depending on what their function is, especially with regards to our gaming enterprise board. Those seats have been vacant for a long time. We also have our home health board that's vacant right now. So there's really nothing that tells anyone that they have a time limit on appointing. So I'm glad that we've opened this up to have these discussions, because I just, in our term, I think we're probably one of the first Congresses that have actually voted against some of the appointments based off qualification or what we wanted that board to be or do, because the boards are established here. And so I feel like this body is the one that's creating the intent of what that board is to be doing. I feel like I wanted to come in here and change, and it's not drafted, why we would approve how they get paid and their compensation every odd year and not every year. Why doesn't it align with our annual budget in the Constitution? Because they're part of that budget. The Constitution says an annual, but yet we address this every odd year. So what I'm trying to do is streamline, I guess. So thank you, Chair.
We aren't the first Congress to say no to a board appointment. I'll just say that. Well, there have been plenty of Congresses that have at least once during a four-year term turned someone, you know, put someone into a no category. And I think that... I mean, this is really good discussion, because then now we're talking about, so for me, the 3-year, if I had to prioritize all the concerns I have with the Boards and Commissions Act, right, the 2-year or 3-year is probably a lower priority issue for me personally. But what does take a front seat and some of the things that you just mentioned is leaving vacant board seats open with the bare minimum to hold a quorum. And in today's world of, you know, people getting COVID and, you know, or having the flu this year was really, really bad. And so, I mean, when people are out sick, if they can't conduct a meeting because they only have 3 board members, right? They have just enough to have a quorum to hold the meeting. And then we've got two seats that are vacant and have been vacant for quite some time. That, for me, that's a front runner issue. And then even, yes, I agree with setting their annually versus every odd year. And then you brought up one more thing, and I can't recall off the top. I'll think about it here in just a minute. But so to me, I think that this is a big picture conversation. And where I'm at is there are just other things I would like to see changed versus the 3 year versus two. Congressman King.
Yeah, all good points. So I think just first thing, I think Chief will actually, so if we pass some of this stuff out as far as the way we structure the boards and stuff like that, I think he'll probably veto saying we need to change the Constitution. I don't think that entirely lacks merit, but I'm confident we could still win on that. But so the boards and commissions, I'll have a bill on Tuesday. I want to just get rid of that act, actually, last time we were here. We can continue that discussion. We can discuss this on Tuesday. So, Chair Goodfox said, I think we kind of messed up from the beginning, even creating the Boards and Commissions Act. Like Jody said, we could have just funded these every year. You know, they're laid out in budget sheets already. I'm not really sure why, well, it was the past Congress, why they chose to do it like that. So I look forward to that debate, but I was just mainly giving the heads up about how I think if we pass some of this stuff out that deals with the boards, that maybe a veto will come and we'll just have to see how it goes. Thank you.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Brevard.
Well, something, you know, that I hadn't actually looked at our board structure until we had the luncheon at Sovereignty Day. And then when our clerks, you know, combined that list, we were like, oh my gosh, we had like 16 boards. 16 boards, and I think about close to 100 and some odd board members. But I'd never looked at it that way. I was like, oh wow, it was a lot.
It's over $1 million.
And so that's exactly kind of what I wanted to bring in this discussion, was that we just, you know, take this time during Hunka to look at this and see if it needs any changes or not. But I felt like it was a good time to look at it, because I do strongly feel that 3 years is just too long. I really do. I think it's in our, now, this is based off of experience now. This isn't just me thinking like, oh, it could happen. There are current board members that I feel have served too long, and I would never go, I don't want to go down the road of removal. I'd rather have the option to address it again. This is very important. I mean, important enough that we put this in law, that we look at this and take these serious, that our board members, because we have some, we may be creating other boards, is what I understand too. You know, if there's other boards that are going to be created, I'd like to see that during Hunka, if that's going to be the case, so we can look at all of this. I just feel, I'm really concerned about the home health board too. We have no one that was established here, but no, there's been no appointments to this board. And I just feel like, but you're exactly right. I feel like that's more of a priority than the 2 year, but I just want it to go be very structured and synchronized to make sense with money and time and election. And maybe we just revisit this all together. I mean, right now, our TCA has 9 board members, right? And they're filled, I think. But yet our gaming and our home health has 0, gaming has 3. I mean, I really feel like that I would agree. If there's anyone that wants to make amendment to how we address that, I'm open to that. So what I'm hearing now is, you know, besides this, and of course this general work and 2542 that just addresses our amendments to the constitutional amendment, that's clean. We needed to do that in code, but I feel like it's a good time to have these open discussion, and I'd be interested to, I have not talked to the executive branch about this.
I have not, and I haven't even talked to other boards about it. I just looking at it on the outside, looking at the vacancies, so that to me, this these past Congresses have chosen the amount of people they want on a board they established for there had to be a reason they came up with those numbers. You know, why five? But then on another board, it may be three. And then on another, you know, like this with the editorial, I believe, Speaker, Congress gets to choose somebody. And that's up this session. Like, it's our turn to choose that person to sit on the editorial, but yet we don't choose somebody else to sit on these boards. And I don't know why that is.
So that was established because the newspaper is supposed to be impartial, right? They're here to serve everyone. So the way they establish that is that the executive gets a pick and congressional gets a pick. And then together, those two people that are confirmed get to pick. So there's one person that isn't, they're confirmed, right? But they're picked by someone from the executive and someone from the legislative. And that's why that is. And if you, I have actually brought this up. I'm like, well, why can't we do that with all the boards? Yeah. So it is Chief. Listen, that was a 2014 ask from me with Chief. And obviously, as it would be no big surprise, he was like, no way, no. Because that Constitution says that these boards serve at the pleasure of the Chief. That's a separation of power. Yeah. It's only allowed for the editorial board because they are supposed to be fair and representing everyone. And it seemed like at the time, I don't disagree with it, that was a good way to do it. I mean, for executive to get a pick, legislative to get a pick, and together they get a pick that is completely outside of our, we can say yes or no. I mean, we can confirm or not confirm, but... so there you go. There's the answer to that. Separation of power is what he would say. All right. Anyone else? Speaker.
It sounds like the sponsor stated that there are lots of good thoughts going on here. Maybe some more work needs to be put into this, because we all have some things that we've brought up that probably need to be looked at. And, you know, when you think about, for example, the gaming board, our largest enterprise, the funds that come from gaming are extremely important to our operations, of course, as a nation. So I'm not sure that I'm in agreement that we can, you know, that we only have three members. I feel like that should be a board that is fully staffed if five are available. But, you know, I also have some colleagues I know that say, you know what, if there were five people on that board, it'd be a mess. They wouldn't be able to make, you know, decisions. It would be too hard. So I think we have a lot more discussion that needs to be had regarding boards and commissions. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Okay, thank you. Chair, I was wondering too, you know, that comes to mind. I was asking about the AG, the Attorney General. Why, since I've sat here, why aren't they sent down? Why are they not reappointed like every so many years? Why doesn't the AG have a term? And so because the treasurer has a term. So I'm just trying to figure out the structure of all of these folks, the Secretary of the Nation, they swear in an oath. Like so I'm just looking at this, as soon as we did the luncheon and looked at this, I was like, we were trying to figure out who had taken an oath. And once we start doing that, it was like, well, why do they have a term and they don't have a term? And it was just kind of all over the place once you looked at it in totality.
Congressman King.
That's just based off a non-binding AG opinion. So again, this happens all the time. We're scared of our own power a lot of the time. So we could just say, okay, we respect what you said, but we're just going to go ahead and, you know, we don't agree with that. But that's why we don't have the treasurer, to my knowledge, I mean the AG, come back in for the reconfirmation, because that there was that old AG opinion that said, you know, it's lawful the way we're doing it now. That's the only reason why. Isn't that accurate?
That's accurate. And yeah. Everyone received an email that like 2 years ago. So, I mean,
we could have forced the vote.
Well, it was because he's been, it's the same chief that appointed him that won the election, the last election, and that he chose to stay with the same person. He's been sworn in and confirmed by this Congress. So had a different person won the executive seat, if they wanted to stay with the current AG, they could have. Now, that would have been an interesting question. So I'm not saying that there doesn't need to be clearer language. There probably does. Yeah. If someone else would have won the executive seat and they wanted to appoint someone else, that would have been, that's where I was going to go, sponsor. If they wanted to go with someone else, clearly they could have. That was the other thing that I kind of lost my train of thought earlier and said, there was one other thing I can't remember. It's that I think that there, we could explore language based off of a new executive seat. Do they have to stay with a board, be it entirely or certain spots that people that have been confirmed that are, say they're in year two, right? Or year one. Do they have to stay with another executive's decision on who sits on those boards? I mean, that's another area that we can explore, have conversation about for sure. Anyone else?
Well, I did, if I may, Chair. And of course the treasurer is a mention within our governing document and our constitution, but there's language about how they serve with regards to the chief as well. But I thought, you know, like when you guys were, or the past Congresses, not you, apologize, I don't mean you guys, but the past Congresses that are looking at the Attorney General the same, like I feel like, Why wouldn't that mirror that to me because of the position and the importance of it or not? I mean, I'd like to go back and look at, you know, what was the reasoning to have the Attorney General? And what I remember, I don't think I was living here, was that it was to save cost because we had so many attorneys. But we have a lot of attorneys right now.
Yes.
So I don't know where the intent is gone. Well, I mean, we have attorneys. Well, that we have a lot of attorneys right now, so I'm thinking, what was the intent of that AG?
That was the intent. The intent when we established the Attorney General office was that there were two things when I took office in 2010. There used to be two line items, right, in every program's budget, every single one of them: donation and legal fees. Those were two line items. And it didn't matter what program or service you worked for, you were allowed to hire a lawyer and donate money wherever you wanted to donate. So we did away with that. And for a long time, we actually would see the donation line item. We were like, take that out. No one's supposed, you know, that was when we kind of went to a more, that's when we stopped donations and started sending people to the foundation for those. Now, we left a couple of donation line items in, like the executive branch, the chief's office is allowed to donate for political purposes. And there were some other caveats to that. But yes, that is why the Attorney General's office, the vision was, we're gonna have an AG office and we're going to limit the number of lawyers that work within the sphere of Osage Nation government. But then there were a couple of departments that said, well, hold on now, we need our own lawyer because this is a specialty. And one of those places was the tax commission, right? They wanted their own specific lawyer because they felt like Yes, Fredericks was more of someone that they could use. But with that, in the very beginning, we said, okay, some people that need specialty lawyers, tax commission, and even the gaming commission, they fell within that realm too of they needed someone that specialized. But you have to go through the attorney general's office to kind of get it approved, or they have to oversee like the billing and stuff like that. So I don't know that it's really worked out. I mean, let's be honest. We've been saying that for a long time. What does it look like for a change up? I don't know, but I think it's, you know, it's good discussion. Go ahead.
I guess because I was thinking, so we have an attorney at our gaming enterprise board. We have an attorney in our gaming commission, our tax commission, our minerals council, our health system, our branch, executive or chief office has attorneys. That's seven right there. So I'm just thinking, and I'm sure you guys could probably think of some more. I mean, I'm just, that's just me off of my head right now thinking, wow. And then, of course, we have our AG office. We have our attorney general and two assistants or one assistant. Two. So we have an AG and two assistant AGs. Oh, the Osage LLC now has their as an attorney as well, correct? So, and anyway, this is just a good conversation, and I appreciate the committee allowing us to open up. But I didn't want to get off subject, but it does relate back to appointments because I was, I was wondering about the attorney general and the treasurer, the secretary, and all these anyone that takes the oath. So, thank you.
Any further discussion? All right. Anyone want to move to table?
Yeah, I was wanting to say if we could please just leave it here in committee. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you. I was going to ask that if you just wanted to leave it here. So I just lost my train of thought. So we're just going to, motion to table ONCA 25-42 to the call of the chair.
Motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. Okay, the next three on this agenda are bills that are going to be withdrawn. And I have talked with Congressman Potts. And if we want to save ourselves a few steps, we can postpone indefinitely in this committee and they just go away. We don't report out. We don't, withdraw them on the floor. They just magically go away.
Sure.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 2485 indefinitely.
So move.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to postpone indefinitely ONCA 2486.
So move.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. And the chair will entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 2497 indefinitely.
So moved.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. And ONCA 2485, 2486, 2497 are all postponed indefinitely. Next item is adjournment. All those in favor of adjourning signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. We're adjourned.